Love a rugby league same game multi? Then you've got to check out Picklebet same game multi. Watch your odds and payouts skyrocket when you combine your favorite team's markets, like head-to-head, first try scorer, and winning margin. Picklebet, the next-gen betting app and official sponsor of the NRL All-Stars podcast.
What are you really gambling with?
For free and confidential support, call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
You'll never know if you don't go. You'll never shine if you don't glow. Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.
And all that glitters is gold.
Only shooting stars break the mold.
Welcome to another episode of the NRL All-Stars podcast. Barnsley here, back for another Supercoach week. TLT round 6 is hit for Supercoach. And to do that, it's been a few weeks. We had to get Billy Marion back on board. Billy, welcome back to the podcast, mate. It's been a few weeks without you. We've all missed you. Welcome back on your cameo for the month.
Yeah, cheers, mate. Good to be back. I've improved about 100,000 spots, so I feel like I've earned my right to come back for a monthly cameo.
That's good, mate. So you've been going back up the ranks. I found it really interesting. Like, there's a lot of people. We're not just going to talk about my own rank. I mean, other people as well that I know that I started about 89,000 and I've just been halving ranks the last few weeks. It's been great. I went up to 2,200 on the weekend or something. You've been climbing the ranks pretty quickly as well.
Oh, it's easy to climb from 100,000, mate. I was.
Well, I started at 90. I wasn't too far off you, don't worry.
Yeah, I'm not sure we'll earn our right to have a podcast for the next couple of weeks, but maybe we can come back in July.
I'm pretty happy with that, just over 2K at the moment. Because I mean, I tell you what, it's been a really hard start to the season, and there's a lot of super coaches the last few weeks have been really clawing back. I don't remember, and I feel like I said this the last year or maybe the last 2 years, but it's more than that this year. Like, I don't remember the start of a season where it's been this chaotic. Where, like, certainly you can move a lot, you know, 5 weeks in, but I don't remember moving from, like, you know, people moving from like 40,000 to 5,000 or even 1,000 and stuff. Like, we've seen some big movement that we don't normally see, I reckon.
Yeah, there's a lot of compression. So you got to, with all the injuries, mate, there's lots of people around that, you know, 900 score, then 950 score, then 1,000 score. So as soon as you have one of those breakout weeks, like you know, Sav did with the 1,300 or 1,400, you just fly up thousands. So I feel like it's not like the old bell curve. You're probably going to have, you know, more of a flat climb and then like a spike towards the end. So I feel that bell curve needs to sort of correct itself a little bit over the next few weeks. And with all the injuries at the moment, mate, it might be a bit of a staggered bell curve.
Oh yeah, for sure. And it's a really good point. It is a lot of it as well. Like, that's what I was saying a couple of weeks ago when there was a lot of injuries. I wanted to be super aggressive because I feel like that's a really good opportunity at those rounds to really move past a lot of people because you've got so many people down and out. So if you can get points on those rounds, it's good. So before we talk about the round that was and go into a little bit of our strategy chat for this week, everyone would have heard the Picklebet ad at the start of the podcast. Picklebet are our official betting partner of the NRL All-Stars podcast, and I love working with them. They've got some great offers. This is 3 weeks in a row now where they've kept the offer up for you to get up to $50 back on an NRL same game multi if one leg fails. So throw it in there. If a leg fails, you get up to $50 back in bonus bets. Their same game multis are awesome. They've got so many markets in there now. I've got a same game multi that I'm going to throw on, and it is a lower odds one. If you like to throw one in that you think's a high chance of coming in and putting a $50 on it, $2.50 you'll get for it, only 3 legs. So, you know, it's pretty easy to get through, but if one fails, you get up to 50 back. William Warbrick to score a try anytime for the Storm. The Storm to win by 12 plus points and the total match points to be over 34.5. Pretty confident on that one. If you don't like your rugby league betting and you like some other stuff, they've got a great basketball one too, and I'm heavily into the basketball. At the moment, they've got a really cool promo that I haven't seen on any other bookies where it's called the 3-2 win promo. And basically, you get $4 odds in the basketball if two or more three-pointers are scored in the first 2 minutes of the game. Max bet $50, but geez, the way the NBA teams throw up three-pointers, especially at this point of the season where it's the last games before the playoffs, they don't care as much. They're just throwing up prayers, throwing up a million three-pointers. At the start of a game for two to go in the first 2 minutes, it's pretty regular. So I reckon $4 odds for that is great. If you're going to have a bet, have a look at Picklebet, create an account today, And also make sure that you put in the affiliate code or promo code as AllStars, all one word. That way they'll know you've come from the podcast and they'll take great care of you. But they've got great odds, great service. Jump on them today and have a look. Always remember, though, is this a bet that you really want to place? For free and confidential support, you can call 1-800-858-858 or visit gamblinghelponline.org.au. Now, last round. We've had another round where there's just absolute carnage, isn't there? Like, the amount of stuff that's happened on the weekend was just absolutely crazy. With obviously, it started with the Roosters game, and anyone who had Roosters, there's a lot of people that had three of those Roosters, you know, and certainly Tedesco and Dom, and they just absolutely got obliterated in the round. And then you got guys like Henry who end up, you know, with a minus score and off with a concussion. It was a really tough round where a lot of really Supercoach relevant players went down.
Yeah, mate. I think I actually unfriended you halfway through the game because I just didn't want to see any of the sprays that were about to come. I thought you'd be on tilt. But yeah, I know what you mean, mate. So, I mean, that was the beginning of the round too. Then you had, I managed to avoid pretty much all the carnage. I didn't have a single player go down. My captain finally worked, and I just happened to be in a head-to-head where I played the one bloke who scored 1,400. It's ridiculous. So I've almost given up on overall to focus on head-to-head. Now I'm thinking about going back to overall, mate. The carnage is just that widespread. I just don't know where to start to correct the team.
Well, I had Sam Walker's three. That was my worst one. But I also had Steely Tupanua stinking up with a 22 and May's 20. But, I mean, a lot of people had that. I think basically my whole round, you know, I just about hit 1,200 and my whole round was saved by the Cowboys. You know, Captain Scotty Drinkwater for 144 points, second best score of the round. And there was some big scores to grab as well. There was obviously his one. Daly Cherry Evans was, you know, almost in 5% of teams. Matt Burton surprisingly was in 6% of teams and they went 147 and 128. Like, there were some big scorers, and the people that stayed on Kalen Ponga got the 117 from him as well. So there was a few scores there that could save people.
Yeah, I think you needed to have a couple of them, though. Like, I had the captaincy on sort of Ponga, so that kind of got me up a bit. When you have players like Hines out or Cleary out or both, and you have to play a bloke like Hutch and you manage to get a couple of those 25 scores, it kind of brings you back to reality a little bit. You really need to have a couple of those, like a Cherry and a Drink, or a Drink and a Ponga or something or other. So if you can manage to get away with two of them, I feel that's the that's that kind of 90% percentile you need to get to.
Well, I would have lost 420 points odd off my score if I didn't have Drinkwater and Ponga, which is insane. Like 33% of my score, they accounted for those two fullbacks. So,
yeah. Case in point.
The Cowboys themselves have actually scored the most points in Supercoach. And Scotty Drinkwater, we mentioned, but Reece Robson got 117 again. Valentine Holmes got 93. And there's three in the top 17 from the Cowboys. So, I mean, if you do target the runs and they work, which I've been talking about the Cowboys for a few weeks, it does pay off. And Valentine Holmes was a big buy for us last week. And that worked out. And certainly even some of the more poddish guys, like Katal was a good pod last week. Not that many people got on. He got 110 as well. So it was a really interesting round because there was very much all this carnage, but there was also a lot of scoring and more tons than we've had. We almost had 15 tons in the round, which is pretty good. And a lot of them were reasonably highly owned as well. So decent round, but it does make way for our strategy chat, Billy. We actually had a listener posed this question, and I thought it was a good one. So I thought, yep, we will chuck that in the strategy chat. And what the listener actually said to me was, what do you think that with all the carnage that we're seeing at the moment at the start of this season, do you think that maybe it's time that we focused more on which Supercoach options are more durable? Because you save trades, you've got the opportunity to make trades that are luxury trades for a lot of teams, some rounds where you can get extra points on them. If you've got these durable guys that aren't necessarily going down very often. It did get me thinking, Billy, because I generally as a strategy, one thing that I think that has changed in rugby league, but also in Supercoach the last probably 3 years, but certainly the last 12 months, the HIA protocols have changed even more where you have the 11-day stand downs and stuff. But we've got HIAs now, the last few years that have come in. We also seem to have more injuries, and statistically there is more injuries. We do have more suspensions the last 5 years than what we had the decade before that. So all these things sort of combine, and then we have the pace of the game as well now very fast, combined to players normally, you know, there's guys that are out a lot. And you sort of look at it and go, wow, maybe it is a strategy now after we've seen two of the first 4 weeks, I think, that have been absolutely carnage. We're looking at guys a little bit more that probably have a little bit more reliability because, you know, as the old saying goes, sometimes the best ability is your availability.
Yeah, true. It's like I've always gone for durable guys. Like I tend to try and avoid people that have that kind of injury plague, particularly players like instead of Johnson. Like he's got a soft draw and going on a bit of a tear at the moment, but injury prone, and his peak isn't exactly what it used to be. So it's a good question, but I think a lot of players would try to go the durability route pretty much every week. Like you can't avoid things like HIAs and broken legs. Like those are just a complete anomalies. So maybe the question should be sort of which players would you want to avoid?
Yeah, well, there's that as well. Probably a really interesting benchmark. Like you might agree or you might not, but for me, I do think it's a strategy that you can employ as far as a consideration, but it's just one consideration out of half a dozen to add. But certainly, like if I'm deciding between two players and I can't decide, and one of them averages, you know, 15 games a year and the other one averages 24 games a year, it might be smarter to err with the guy that's averaging the 24 games a year at the moment.
Yeah, true. Like I'll give you an example. There are certain players which I completely avoid just because of certain scenarios. Like Latrell, I don't like having at all because, you know, he's basket case and can get suspended at any given point in time. Cherry Evans, I hate buying because even though he's a flat track bully at home, as soon as he plays away, he shoots to 40s and 50 scores. I can't stand people like that. Moses, exactly the same. Flat track bully, plays well at home, but away horrible. So it takes away his average, like a 5-game rolling average for away if you want to pick him up if he doesn't have 4 out of 5 games at home. So there are certain aspects of the game that you need to take into consideration as well, not just the health factor. There are horrible factors for certain players depending on the scenario that they're presented with. So those are some prime examples there.
Good examples, mate. Very good examples. Look, what I've actually done, I've gone through the positions and looked at the last 3 years, because I think you want to look at, you know, recency, how available people are. So looking at the last 3 years, we're looking at each position. Let's go through them quickly and have a bit of a chat. So halves-wise, if you're looking at options that are playing the majority of games the last few years that are relevant for Supercoach, 23 games per season over the last 3 seasons, including some Origin games, Matt Burton and Cody Walker, they average 23 games a year, and they've both played Origin the last few years as well, which has missed some games as well. So you could even say that for a club, they actually average a bit higher if they're not playing Origin. So that's pretty good, and that's about as close as you get for a full season. Surprisingly, Daly Cherry Evans as well has been really durable. He's 22 games a season, and he's played Origin all the last 3 seasons. So he's really more like a 24-game type of player if he wasn't playing Origin. And surprisingly, Nico Hines is actually 22 games per season in the last 3 seasons as well. So I think that he's someone who, particularly last year, Billy, because he started off injured as well, that really hurt his games. But I think people have that in their head as well, that he was hurt at the start of last year. But if you're looking at durability, like I know this podcast has been pro-Hines over Cleary the whole time, and Hines has had a bit of a rough run. But when you look at that list, like those are the top options as far as the highest games per year and the most durable as far as reliability goes. And Hines is actually right up there, and certainly above Cleary, he's been hurt the last couple of years.
Oh, Hines is going to start getting injured soon, mate. You can't carry the Sharks that long and not do a back.
Oh, don't do that to me.
If he gets injured, mate, put it this way, at least there might be a restructure and Iro gets a bit of a few more weeks out of it. Although it probably won't go any well with Hines out of the team, so kind of offsets that a bit. Yeah, I know what you're saying, mate. Look, he's young too. Players between that sort of ages, sort of, you know, 20 and 25, 26 are generally going to be healthier. Like they're just wired that way. It's the Cody Walker one was interesting. Like dead set.
I was surprised about that too.
Maybe that was perceived incorrectly because every time he gets, you know, a bit of a touch, he's lying on the floor rolling around. He gets up pretty quickly. He doesn't seem to miss any games. That one really surprised me. Although when you don't have a dominant forward pack, and you don't have a run of opposition where he can sweep left. I just don't like that Cody Walker thing anyway. So, yeah, getting back on track, mate. The longevity. Hines is one. I haven't looked at his games, but I don't recall old mate down in Melbourne being injured too much as well. Hughes, and he seems to. I had a look at his scores the other day after that big ton he put up, and he puts up some sneaky consistent 70s and 80s. I've never really entertained the thought of having him before, but I'm starting to wonder whether he might be a sneaky Origin might run when Cleary's out.
Yeah, I really liked him as a buy last week. And to answer your question, he was just below the other guys. So he's gone 20, 20, and 22 games the last 3 years. Before that, he actually had some shoulder injuries and surgery and stuff, I think.
But and suspensions.
But the last 3 years, Hughes has actually been pretty good. He's around 21 games, and he doesn't play Origin, which also kind of puts his durability below how many of the other guys miss from injury and stuff. But he was really good last week at 108. I really liked him as a buy, and he's certainly pretty durable. He doesn't play round 13, though, which is a bit annoying. Hooker, I reckon you're going to be a bit surprised about. Blake Brayley, 24 games per season the last 3 years for the Sharkies. And right next to him, Robson has actually played some Origin game in there, and he's 24 games a season. So one of the reasons that I started with Reece Robson was because of the draw, because I thought that he could get back from, you know, the last year's bit of downtrodden form to maybe the year before, but also because he's very reliable, doesn't miss any games. And averaging 24 games a season the last couple, well, that's about as good as it gets. Damien Cook's just behind them on 22 games a season, but he's just been dropped, so may as well not talk about him. But I was a bit surprised with Robbo. I did remember, though, that was one of the things I looked at in the preseason, one of the reasons why I liked him at hooker to start with, because I knew he wasn't going to miss any games and I didn't want to stuff around with trades there. He's too expensive now at 700K, but if you wanted to, you know, that's one of the reasons why we sort of talk about this strategy and stuff, because if you can find someone like Reece Robson's starting price that you know is reliable and you don't want to trade in that position, then that might have been a really good strategy at the start of this season because he'd been reliable and he scored well. Fullback, there's actually two guys at the top of the list. Your mate, Clint Gutherson, 23 games a season the last 3 years, including some Origin, and Drinkwater, 22 games a season. So particularly Drinky, at the moment, people are looking at trading him in. He's actually been really durable the last 3 years. And Gutherson, I think that everybody would sort of think of, especially if you're an Eels fan like you, Billy, that, you know, he rarely misses games himself.
Misses goals, though. He might be injured next week if the fans catch him.
Yeah, he's going to miss some wins too, it looks like.
Poor bloke. Yeah, he might be durable, but I tell you what, he's taped up like a, for someone that's durable, he's taped up like a mummy every second game.
Well, there's some forwards here as well that get taped up a little bit. Actually, we'll go to the centre wing first. We're going through the back line. Joey Martin's been popular lately as a buy. I tell you, people remember...
I do like him.
Remember Latrell Mitchell busting his draw up and stuff, and, you know, he has missed some games, but he's still actually averaged just about... And I've rounded all these numbers up, so they might be, you know, 0.3 off and stuff, but 22 games a season, basically, the last 3 years. That's pretty good for Manu, 22 games a season.
He's back to form on the right, that right side too.
Yeah, he is. So, I mean, you know, if you're looking at centre wing and you're looking at someone like Manu, he doesn't get injured the last few years. He normally doesn't miss games. Another guy that I threw in there at the last minute, and I will say this, like I didn't really want Talangi from the Cowboys, but I ended up with him because I had somebody ruled out 5 minutes before kickoff. It might have even been in the warm-up. I can't remember who it was. And I had to get somebody from the Cowboys game. That's right, it was Labutt. When Labutt was ruled out 2 weeks ago, I think it was, I had to get a Cowboy in because there was no other real centre wing options. And I got Murray Talangi in. And that worked out quite well for me. But he's doing 21 games a season the last 3 years, including some Origin performances. And Meany, I actually quite like this week as a bit of a pod. He's been really reliable for the Storm. He's played 22, 22, and 22 games the last 3 years in a row, and he's retained the goal kicking this year. So some interesting, sneaky, reliable centre wing options there for games played.
Yeah, he's an interesting one, that Meany. Like, he gets rid of his fullback status but retains the kicking, so it kind of offsets a lot of it. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting guys there. Like, I've been umming and ahhing about Manu all day today. When I say all day, I mean the 5 minutes I had to spare at lunch. But his my big concern is he's such a consistent form. You know, back at that right center with a tackle busting ability, hitting kind of 60s with relative ease. That going to fullback this week, I know they're not favorites, but if he hits a ton this week, I just fear he's priced. It's puts him on an upward trajectory and puts him out of reach. So I just feel this week he's one of the guys where it's a buy or beware. You won't be able to afford him for another month.
Yeah, it's a fair call. And look, some of these guys are in market watch, so we'll just talk about them now just because they've come up as reliable options if that's your strategy you want to take. I agree with you. Like Manu, I was actually talking to Mikey last week after the podcast, and he was really keen on Manu and he went with it, which was good for him. Because he ended up with 108 points in a game that really you thought the Roosters weren't going to get many points in. But no. He went from 647, which was reasonably affordable, to now 698. And he now has a 39 break even. And we know that, you know, I think it's something like 80%+, or it's something like that. It's a high percentage that when he's playing at one, he gets 90+ points.
Yep.
So the tons are very, very likely when he's got one on his back. And playing Newcastle isn't the worst matchup. So, I mean, you're right. Like, if he, say he tons up this week, you're all of a sudden paying the best part of 750K to get Joey Manu in, and he's going to go back to centre because apparently Teddy is likely right for the following week. So that's really hard, isn't it? I think people that got on last week have done a really good job. Maybe you're right, Billy. Maybe this week is the last chance because he's already got two tons in the last five games at fullback. He can make it 3 out of 6, 50% strike rate if he gets one this week for tons. And it's going to be pretty handy. He's also got Saints in round 8, which is going to be pretty handy as well. But the biggest thing is he plays round 13, and if Tedesco is number one for the New South Wales team, he's going to play, you know, in the first big bye. And if he maintains this sort of form, you might have to fork out a lot of money for him you can't afford then. So what do you do?
Yeah. I was just trying to look at next week's game to see if it was a soft one. I was just hoping that if it ended up being like the Dragons or the Titans next week, maybe they give Teddy another rest, given like that was a hard knock that he took. So there's no guarantee he'll turn up the following week, although you need to sort of factor that he likely comes back. But yeah, they play the Storm the following week, but probably doesn't really matter too much for old Manu. I was just checking to see whether there was a potential 150 in there instead of just a 50. But yeah, I reckon 50K rise this week that he sort of get staples at that sort of 750 range for a bit.
Yeah, it's pretty hard. Oh, I do think that it's buy now or not, because you're buying now, you're going to get the benefit of the fullback game, and you're going to get the benefit of the, you know, just holding him now at a reduced price potentially. He may very well drop back down to this sort of price by round 13, which is why I'd probably just wait if you don't get him now, because he's going to be expensive over the next few weeks.
Problem is he's got the Dragons the following week, then the depleted Broncos, then the Warriors. So he's got a decent run going into that.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. So buy him now. If you want him, buy him now. If you don't, then I dare say that you should probably just wait. But he's a massive pod too. Meany's a massive pod, and I'm just going to raise him now rather than later because we've talked about him as being pretty durable. He's got the goal kicking. He's actually gone 44, 61, 83, and 69 his first four games. But more importantly, Billy, I've been really happy with his base. Like, his raw base is 34, which is solid. But three out of his four games, like one of them was a dud at 22 raw base. The other three games, raw base 40, 41, 31, plus the goal kicking. So you're looking at a guy, you know, that's going to have a floor of 45, but and then his goal kicking on top, he's going to put it to sort of 55. And that's pretty appealing for a Storm side that's now had a bye and has a pretty good run starting with the Bulldogs this week. And they've actually got, what, four of the next six at home at Amy Park. That's pretty appealing.
Yeah, it does make it very appealing. You can't have everyone, but it's certainly a compelling case. I think the draw is a key factor there. Also, the fact that you've got Papenhuyzen sort of back to his best. The spine is full strength there. So if they remain full strength, they've got those games at home, and you've got that fullback sort of roaming and sweeping, a lot more of a chance for those wingers just to sort of collect and kick.
Yeah, and good point as far as the strength. And the Storm are starting to wind into it now with Munster back and Papp with some games.
It looked horrible that first game, but it'll get some cobwebs out.
Yeah, and just having him there I think is going to help him. And three of the next four games are against the Dogs, Souths and the Titans. And that looks like a good 3 out of 4 there. The other one's against the Roosters, who should have people back, but maybe they don't. So good month of footy. Nick Meany's only downside is 690,000. So that's maybe an issue, but you know, he still averaged 68 last year. He's averaged 64 so far this year, and I don't think he's scored a... I think he's not scored a try yet, I'm pretty sure. Maybe he's got one. But forwards-wise, Billy, a couple of durable forwards. Papali'i, who was over at your Eels, who went over to the Tigers, 23 games a season the last 3 years, and he's sub-600K. Yo, at the Panthers, he plays Origin, but 21 games per season the last 3 years for Penrith. He has been someone who I think people normally associate durability with. It is harder with forwards. Like, I think if you get sort of 20-plus games a season from a forward over 3 years, it's pretty good because obviously forwards get HIAs a lot more and they also get suspended a lot more too. So 21 games from Yo, who's sort of snuck under the radar, averaging 76 points per game so far in his first 5 games. That's very appealing at his durability.
It's very surprising for him too because he generally doesn't score that well. He just tends to roam around that middle and just be a bit of a link player. He's probably very durable. I don't like saying this about a guy that sort of does the work that he does, but he doesn't run as hard as the other forwards. There's guys like Nathan Brown who are just absolute mad henchmen who just run straight, and then there's guys like sort of Yeo who just play that ball playing ability through the middle. He can play the entire season and not take a big hit. Just a big tough man, but more lateral movement. So I think he's obviously a safe bet to sort of chuck in your team. But I think it's a lot of money for just to get a durable bloke this time of year that doesn't have that sort of ton potential.
Yeah, and his 76 points a game would be a career high.
I had it in the last couple of years. He just doesn't go anywhere near there.
No, he's done 69 a game in 2020 and 2023. So I mean, I think that he's 7 points better at the moment. He hasn't scored a try or anything yet, but he's got very good raw base this year at 57. But his scores, Billy, like he's got nothing lower than 67. He's gone 67, 94, 69, 72, and 79. But that's why 740,000. You know, I don't think at this point a lot of teams can afford to outlay 740,000 for someone that's not really going to hit them tons. I think if you pay that money, it's for a Val Holmes or something like we did last week where you're going to get, you know, 100 plus a score.
They're coming into a soft run too. So do they put 40 points on the Tigers and does he all of a sudden get a 15-minute spell too? You've got to take those things into consideration.
Yeah, and the later that you wait on guys like Yo as well, the more you're going to get to that Origin period where they will play him less minutes and they will rest him potentially. Look, there's a couple of up-and-comers as well that I just wanted to mention. So obviously these guys that I mentioned in each position, 3-year averages. There's a couple of young guys that haven't really been playing consistent at first grade, but the last 2 years they have. The first one is Tumiko at the Raiders, and he's done 24 games the last 2 years. And Olakau'atu at Manly has done 23 games the last 2 years. These two guys are pretty hot property for pod buys at the moment. I want to start off with Tumiko at the Raiders. 124 points on the weekend versus your Eels. Scored a double. The other time he scored a try this year, he scored 91. And the other 3 games without tries, 43, 57, and 56. 35 raw base, 52 base attack. And obviously looked good in spurts last year, but just couldn't put it together, averaging 58 points a game. He's now averaging 74 points a game. It is inflated from that massive 124 on the weekend, but he is playing the Gold Coast Titans this week. Break even at 29, 697,000 to purchase. An expensive purchase around that Nick Meaney price, but it is always the thing with these young guys, Billy. You know, Matt Tomoko, he has been playing a lot of games. He doesn't miss them the last couple of years. He's young and an up-and-comer, so he can improve. Maybe he is, you know, a gun this year. Maybe he's a 65-plus guy. But the matchup immediately against the Titans, there's no reason why he couldn't turn up this week. So I thought it was nice to mention him because the last 2 years he's played a lot of games, hasn't missed hardly any. And he's also got the juicy matchup this week, and he's a massive pot, a couple percent ownership.
Yeah, he's had a couple of big ones in there. Floor of 43. I'm just trying to go through his numbers to see. He's had a couple of real big games. So I'm just going to pull a couple of quick stats out. I'm going to pull the double and treble games out, see what his base is there. He's still averaging 63, taking those huge games out. So I wouldn't be too concerned about him. Like one of those guys where you just make a decision, get him or not. West Tigers, Newcastle, New Zealand. So he's had the soft run. Probably just look at his draw coming up and decide where do you think he can keep going. And a question, does Schiller sit outside him or the other side?
Schiller was outside him.
I'm just wondering whether the young kid might have had an influence on the combination with him. I know that centre three quarter wing up is not too much of a combination to be had, but are they the same age coming through the junior ranks together? Maybe they're just sort of working together really well.
No, I think they're just working together really well. He's done well before, regardless of who's been on that wing. And it has changed a bit. Like, it's not like Schiller's been there all year.
Bloody quick.
And yeah, he is quick and he's very strong. Like, he scored a try that he had no right to on the weekend, where he just went himself and I thought he butchered it and he scored it, just planning it down. So, well, I think that he's a bit of a smoky option. And he's also someone that you can hold because he plays that round 13 bye, which is a really handy one, round 13 bye against the Dolphins. So, all of a sudden, you know, someone like him could be a big difference maker these next couple of weeks too with the matchups. Other guy I mentioned, Olakau'atu, he's been super hot this year. He's got 97, 54, 48, 94 and 76, averaging 74 a game. Only two tries out of the first five games, which for him is about right because he's a bit of a try-scoring beast. 49 base is really good for him. His base has gone up. 18 base attack, which he's always had in him, but it's gone up again. So, look, he's just under 700,000, a BE of 40. He's basically the perfect time to buy him. He's playing away the next 2 weeks, unfortunately, but he is playing against the Warriors, who have been playing really well, so that's not easy at all. But then he's got the Gold Coast Titans in 2 weeks. So there is an argument to be made that if you need a second rower...
That's the one that would scare me.
Yeah, if you need a second rower, grab him now and know that he's got the... You know, he's going to go up in money this week a little bit as well. And you've got the Titans in round seven. But he's also got the Eels at home and the Raiders at home, both at 4 points in 8 and 9. And then the Dolphins away. So even those games aren't too bad for him running at those edges. So Olakau'atu, very reliable the last couple of years. Played 24 games last year. And he seems to have come into his own. So, I mean, he's another one that's very reliable, that is a bit of a pod buy and has been for a few weeks, really.
He's also one you don't need to be concerned about too much, depending on whether you're playing a decent opposition or a weaker opposition, or whether your halves are on fire or you're away or at home. Because once he gets the ball, he's just one of those damaging runners who can take a couple of tackle busts and offload and just make something out of nothing without sort of breaking a line. So that's the safer component as well as the durability piece.
Let's move on to Market Watch. So before we move along, we need to take a quick break to introduce you to a brand new partner of the NRL All-Stars podcast, Bonus Bank. You can go to www.bonusbank.com.au today to check them out, sign up for free, or go straight to a paid plan to access all the different benefits that Bonus Bank has. But basically, Bonus Bank is Australia's number one match betting website. So it's not gambling. It provides a profitable side hustle for anyone who likes their betting by taking advantage of promotions and bonus bets that you can make, giving you a risk-free, tax-free income every week. So Bonus Bank has software and calculators that do all the work for you. It's semi-automated and it compares over 90 bookies across Australia as well to give you information on all in one place. It's also got its own app that you can do it on. It's also got several other features like betting and bonus calculators, tutorials and free education on how to make money from the bookies, Australia's biggest match betting Discord community you get to join as well, odds match software, full customer support, and a whole heap more. There's so many benefits, it's crazy. So if you want to compare offers and promos all in one place across bookies and learn how to make some extra income through the bookies in Australia, then Bonus Bank is well worth a try. Go and sign up today with a range of their plans. You can go completely free just to trial them, or you can go straight to a paid membership, and the different membership tiers will give you a whole heap of different features that are well worth it because, look, you get the money back anyway with the profits that you'll probably make. So sign up by referencing All Stars as your code on the site and you'll get a special sign-up offer as well for a membership today. Bonusbank.com.au. Go get in there. Australia's number one side hustle for anyone who likes their betting. Look, the traded out is super easy this week because can I just tell you, like the green dot on Supercoach about, you know, someone actually playing. There's only two of them in the top 10 trade out that are actually playing this week, and that's Sean Lane at number 10 and Dylan Brown at number 6. Everybody else is hurt or on a bye or suspended. So, I mean, it's pretty easy. These guys that are hurt, it makes complete sense to be trading them out. Maybe James Tedesco you hold, and that's probably the contentious one. You know, I'd be tempted to sell just in case he is held out next week. I don't think that he will be, but he does have the Storm next week. So, I mean, you can argue that you can buy him back in a few weeks if you really want to. But there's probably too many points at fullback. The other one is as well, Billy, you know, don't waste a trade at fullback. You've got him back next week. Maybe you just hold. How do you feel about James Tedesco, who's having a bit of a throwback year?
Oh, mate, he played out of his skin the first game or two and scored, what, 100? And then Turbo and Ponga had, what, absolutely horrendous games and still scored, what, 50, 60, doing 20% of the work that he did. I think it just goes to show, like, he's an Tedesco is a brilliant player, but he's got a high work rate to get to 80, 90, like basically man the match, whereas those other guys can just roam around the park, make a couple of touches, bang, bang, and they're just there. So I've got no interest in Tedesco at all.
Yeah, what I would say about holding him, though, is he's got 180, 84 break even. Like, if you want him back, then...
I wouldn't want him back.
No, I think he's earned it. Like, the first 3 weeks, he went 70, 103, 135, and then the bad score was 47 against Penrith. So, I mean, I don't know. It's particularly if he doesn't get named for Origin, I think he's going to be a hot buy for around 13. But even before that, like, if you're a team that's got him in the side already, Billy, and you decided that's my favourite fullback, I would sell him still because he's obviously not playing this week, and then he's got the Storm. And over the next 3 weeks, he's probably going to drop 100 to 150,000. And you can always buy him back if you really need to and take the other fullback points this week.
100%. You take the win. Like, you made your decision to get him. He scored absolutely brilliantly for you. His low score, what he had a few points in him before he got that concussion. I would just take the win, cash out now, and if you want to, get him back in a few weeks. Because if you ride the wave too long, you're going to lose everything that you gained.
I've spoken about Taylor May too much the last couple of weeks. Everybody knows I sold him a couple of weeks ago and how I feel, so I'm not going to talk about him.
Well, I'm selling him this week too, so I don't want to talk about him either.
Well, I do think it's a late sell. Like, I think that you were better off deciding that last week, but, you know, he's not playing this week. And you need...
Oh, I don't want to. He's not going to play this week. Then he's got the Titans the week after. My biggest fear is he scores 40 doing absolutely nothing. He's going to have an absolute ball tear soon. It's going to hurt, but I think I need some points this week.
He will do it. He will do it, but every centre wing will. And the problem is, does he do it enough? And I'm not convinced that he will do it enough at the moment, at least early on in the season. But Dylan Brown, I think, is a bit contentious. He's having a bad season, Billy. He's the sixth most popular trade-out. And I thought about it, you know, and I've gone back and forth on this one. So I'm really interested in your input because he's only averaging 54 for the year. Dylan Brown is not someone I traditionally like to start with. He's not someone that I've liked as much as others. I still think he's a great player, but me and Wolford have had these little... battles before where we've laughed about how much I don't like him and how much, you know, Wilfred overlikes Dylan Brown. But last year I was all on board, Billy. He averaged 76 for the season. I thought, nah, look, Dylan Brown has come into his own, fair play. And I started with him this year because I hated all the sixes. He's gone 54, 65, 55, 42 and 55. That is very underwhelming for a guy that came in at $780,000 to start with. He's now playing two games at home, but the Eels looked terrible last week. So I guess there's two different thoughts on Dylan Brown. One is he's playing at home the next two against the Cows and the Dolphins. It's not that bad. He also plays round 13, which is important. And he's already dropped a heap of value. You know, you're going to sell him at almost $150,000 less. And he hasn't actually had a terrible score. So surely he scores a try soon. Surely the Eels improve. Obviously, the other way of thinking about it, Billy, is the Eels were absolutely awful last week. And that form continues and Dylan Brown just isn't going to get any big scores and he's just going to keep going badly. So how do you feel about Brown going forward and selling him this week?
I'm going to keep him because there's no one that I actually really want to sell to. And the other thing is he's already dropped 138K. There's no point selling him now when he averages 77 versus the Cowboys, who he's got next. He hasn't played the Dolphins yet, but let's assume it'd be half decent score. He actually averages 75 versus Manly in the next. So the next three games, he's got a sample game of 12 games versus those two teams. So I'm inclined just to stick it out. The thing that scares me that I absolutely hate is the fact that he's not in that ball running position that he's used to. He's playing seven, so I fear he'll turn into like a Brett Kamali type and won't get as much of a chance to play that off the cuff left hand side like he normally does. Like if you look at him last week, he looked horrible. Hardly did anything. And then he had that one run left where he just cut out ball. There was the 20 points really quickly. So the fact that he's basically done nothing and averaging sort of 55, 55, 55, I'm going to stick with it because if you look at all the other options around, I mean, he's scoring 55. He's not gonna give you a 20. That's the only reason for keeping him. But it's a lot of money. It's 642K is a lot of money to keep into someone giving you 55. That's the other side of the equation.
Yeah, so I've gone around in circles on him, and I ended up deciding what one of your key points there is what actually I decided on the reason why I was going to keep him, and that is, I went, you know what, I'm going to move him on. I'm going to put Strange to 6, use that money to buy a centre wing strike weapon. Then I went, hang on, how comfortable am I starting Strange or Galvin at 6 going forward? Not very. So what am I going to do? Well, in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to have to buy a 6. Okay, Barnsley, what's your plan? Because we all know you need a plan. Oh, my plan is to look at 6s. I looked at them and I went, there is no way I'm going to burn a trade on Brown out and then burn another trade at 6 to get another 6 in 2 weeks. I just don't want to do that at all because I hate all the 6 options. So I ended up coming back full circle and saying, I'm better off just keeping Dylan Brown. I save a trade there. I've got him for around 13 for the big buy, and he's got a decent run coming up. It can't keep going as bad as what it has, like you said. And it's interesting too because he's only averaging 4 points per game in offloads and tackle breaks. Now, Dylan Brown is much better than that, particularly in the tackle breaks. So it's got to click. It's got to be better. But more importantly, if there was a hot buy, Billy, I'd go for it. But there just isn't. And if you start Strange at 6, he might go well. Like, you know, last week he killed it. But he also has already scored 26 in a game twice in 80 minutes this year. You're not going to get 26 in a game from Dylan Brown, at least.
Yeah, he doesn't get to play heels every week, does he? That's all I'm going to say. I'm done.
Good. Well, the last guy to talk about that's been traded out is another Eels player, Sean Lane. I understand people doing it, but at the same time, I think it's a bit of a luxury because, look, he had a 37 on the weekend. His base is only 40. He hasn't really gotten much offloads going on. He's called 1 try in 5 games. He's only averaging 47 for the season. 2 of the games were actually really promising where he scored 62 and 62. The other 3 games are duds, though, where it's 41, 35, and 37. He is playing 80 minutes, and he's not going to drop money. Like, he's got a 42 break-even. He's only made, like, 30K. Or sorry, 20K. So, I mean, to me, it's just an easy hold because I think that I've got other guys that I can get rid of. I know people might be frustrated with him, Billy, but it just might not be worth the trade to get him out at the moment unless you've absolutely got no one else to trade. I also look ahead to round 13 at this point and say, he's playing round 13. I'm probably not going to lose any money by that point. I may as well just hold him, hope that he gets more towards a 60 average and I can cash him out after the big buy. So that's what I've decided to do. I understand some people selling him. I think that it's pretty team specific and that some teams maybe might be selling him when they've got other people that they could probably sell instead.
Yeah, I'm glad you got me on the show tonight because I wanted to ask you specifically about that trade. I made 2 trades and I was 10K short of getting a Manu. So I started looking at using my third trade this week, trying to go down to someone. And I looked at him, and I thought, who would I actually downgrade him to? Mate, I've stayed away from your Chooks the entire year because I don't know what that second row rotation is going to look like. But Angus Crichton, 80 minutes, like, is he back? Like, what's the go with that second row rotation? Is he going to stay there or way too risky? Because there's him and there's Blore as options for downgrade.
Yeah, so, I mean, he was the last one. So let's go straight over to trade-in players because Angus Crichton's going to be one of those to talk about because he is the fourth most popular trade-in and people are going Lane to Angus Crichton. I am a massive Angus Crichton fan. I'm not doing it. And it's only because I just really don't know, to answer your question. He played 80 minutes on the weekend. That was great, but it's obviously a weekend where the rotation was entirely different, right? Like, they brought Nat Butcher on off the bench. He's played big minutes. Victor Radley played 80 minutes at lock. And well, he would have if he didn't get sent off with 7.5 to go. That meant that like someone like Terrell May only played 20 just because of the weird rotations. And Satili, I think, moved to centre as well. There's just too much going on in that. And I just, unfortunately, Nat Butcher can play both edges. He can also play the middle. So, you know, maybe his name not to start on an edge. Maybe he gets put back to the bench as a late change, which Robbo's already done once this year. And then all of a sudden he comes on and plays some edge on, you know, it's just Satili Tupanua's on the bench as well. Does he come on for Nat Butcher? Does Nat move to the middle? And that butcher normally plays big minutes when he starts. He's normally 80 minutes, so maybe he goes on and takes Crichton off. There's just too many factors. So I reckon that this week, even though Angus Crichton has a break even at 24 and probably goes up in money, I would just watch this week and just see, because they're pretty depleted anyway. They might struggle a bit against Newcastle. If you have to pay an extra $20,000 or $30,000 to buy Angus Crichton next week after two 80-minute games, it just feels so much safer.
Sold. Yeah, no, I agree. My exact reason why I stayed away from him and all your other edgies just to start the year, you know, Tupidua, Wong and co. My mate Baz asked me about Crichton last week and I steered him away exactly for that reason. And here I am talking about bringing him in. So head straightened.
Yeah, look, it might come off. Like, it may very well work. It's just there's that.
I'd rather not take the risk for that, because it's two trades to get him out again. I just, for the sake of finding 10K so I can get Manu, I'll find it another way. I would even get rid of Tulagi early for Iroh if I have to. I don't know.
Well, the problem is that, like you said, you've got to be aware of the risk, and there is a lot of risk there. Like, it might work out fine, but if it doesn't, it's like, say he gets benched in a week. You know, off the bench, he's played 25 and 26 minutes the first two games, so 28 and 18 points. He will lose money on his current price. Forget about what he actually goes up and loses that. You know, he'll lose that in 2 weeks. So, yeah, it can be a big waste of a trade, and he's also unplayable as well to even hold him. You're better off just spending an extra 20 or 30K in a week or two even, and then just, you know, buy him then when you're sold that he's getting the 80 minutes. Some other guys on Market Watch that are pretty interesting though, Billy, aside from Angus. Sorry, you mentioned another guy as well that you were considering. You're considering Bloor. So he's not on the top 10, but let's chat about Bloor because he's come up a little bit. I actually don't really like Bloor either. He's been named to start again, but he played 64 minutes on the weekend as the starting edge. Scored 63 points, which was nice. Only 41 in raw base. But to me, because he's close to 450K, I just don't really have the interest if someone's not playing 80 minutes. You know, it's the same with Angus. Like, I don't want Angus at 60 minutes and he's a lot cheaper. I certainly don't want Bloor, who's worse at 60 minutes if he's 450K. You know, it just doesn't make sense to me. Now, maybe Bloor's going to bust out, but we just haven't really seen it from him. He's promised a lot. And if he was 80, sure, but he's not cheap. He's not playing 80 and we've seen one game from him. I'm really not that sold on Bloor either.
Fair enough. I wasn't aware of the 60-minute component, actually. I thought it was 80. Yeah, all right. Puts it right in perspective. I missed that stat, sorry.
No, that's all right. A few people have talked about Bloor, so there's certainly an interest if he's going to be starting there. There's a lot of, like, almost similar to Angus, not quite as bad. There is also in Melbourne, like, a lot of job security issues. Like, Chan was chosen to start at the start of the year. He's in the wings. Howarth got moved to the bench on the weekend. He's in the wings. He's been much more highly touted than Bloor coming through. They're invested heavily at 500K a year or whatever, for 5 years on Howarth. You know, there's a lot of guys there that can actually take Bloor's job as well. Bloor trained as a middle, as a starting 13 previously as well. Too many factors for me. Moving along, though, on the traded in, James Schiller's number one. Now, I never normally say must have with many people. Minus 117 break even, Billy. He can do a hammy in the first minute and still make a bucket load of money. So I've disagreed with a few people on this, because some people have talked about how, well, look, if Hopper comes back next week, they could drop Schiller. Even if that's the worst case scenario, is that he makes you $100,000 to $150,000 in 1 week and then you trade him. And a lot of the time with cows, we end up waiting 5 or 6 weeks for them to make that money so we can see the back of them. There's nothing wrong with him making that money quickly and just getting rid of him. It'll be the easiest 100K you've ever made. And he probably makes 150, and he's also playable this week versus the Titans, and then you can punt him. So to me, he's a must. We might not even see another minus 117 break even in the next 2 months.
You might see Dylan Brown eventually. Let's see how we go this week. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. See, it's a classic example of some of the risks you have to take sometimes. Like, I see this all the time, you know. Oh, don't get a cow after 1 week. It's a waste. They could break down not get selected. But then all of a sudden you come into a scenario where you've got two trades, maximum of three with a boost. Sometimes they end up like going on a tear like Schiller. So you miss the points that some people take early. You also come into a scenario where three, four, five injuries, and all of a sudden instead of using one trade, instead of using two trades in 1 week, you've used one trade, then you've got to try and fit four or five into the following week. It just doesn't fit. It's not the Tetris move just doesn't fit. So sometimes you just need to go early because it fits the model of getting players and getting the cash early to peak as fast as you can. And last week was a classic example with Schiller.
Yeah, it can be. It's one of those things too. Well, I don't mind going early on some guys, but I need to know that there's not going to be any flags. Like, Iroh's coming up a bit, and he's getting traded in a fair amount now as well. Eighth most popular trade. I don't love getting him in, only because, to me, he doesn't have the job security, right? Talakai's on the bench. That was Talakai's job before. Iroh's only played one game. He's never established himself as a first grader yet. There might even be a late change before this game.
Yep.
Where Iroh is out and Talakai is starting at centre. You know, like, that could even happen this game. And so, to me, if there wasn't those flags there, like, if there was someone ruled out for, say, 8 weeks and he took the spot, 100% buy him a week early, you know, just take the risk he doesn't get hurt. He probably won't. That's fine. The problem with someone like a Kael Iroh is he may very well lose his job this week or next, and then you don't get any price rise out of him at all. So, yeah, that's the issue with him.
Yeah, agree, mate.
Well, I mean, Kalen Ponga, the third most popular trade. People need to probably swallow their pride at this point, but I was big on holding him. I've held him the whole year from round one. And look, he's now gone 86, 117 and 117 the last three rounds. It was always a case of the first two rounds of 50 and 45 were just bad games and he was going to come good, and he has. He looks absolutely electric at the moment, and he's goal-kicking, and he's playing a Rooster side over at Newcastle, missing Sam Walker and also James Tedesco, among others. So that's pretty appealing. And I mentioned a couple of weeks ago when people were trying to trade him out, look ahead at the run, because after this week, he's got the Bulldogs, the Dolphins, the Warriors, the Tigers, the Gold Coast, the Bulldogs in round 13, big bye if he's not playing Origin. And the most recent predicted team has him not playing Origin. He's a great buy this week still. He was a great hold 2 weeks ago. Swallow your pride if you've got to buy him back. I think that him and Drinkwater are probably the two number one fullbacks at the moment. And they are going to go on runs. Like, other guys will take over them, Billy. But at the moment, based on the current form, Ponga and Drinkwater, and they've both got good matchups at the moment. So, makes sense.
I'll tell you what, mate. As a New South Welshman, that's music to my ears, but it's also absolutely terrifying that a bloke like Kalen Ponga can't make a State of Origin team.
Maybe not pick him. I mean, they picked him as a utility on the bench before, but I think that because they've got that utility, like the Ben Hunt-Grant combo that they go with, and Walsh has got that fullback spot, and they've got, like, you know, heroes from last year, like Talangi, that had some really good touches. And I just don't think they're going to want to play him out of position, and they'll just sort of carry on.
Oh, that and the loyalty thing, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah, the loyalty. They're loyal until they've got to drop someone, right?
I'm just trying to brush up some anger so you can get some comments.
Well, look, we've gone through Angus. Sean Johnson is one that we haven't gone through, though. I did not like Sean Johnson at the start of the year. He looked fantastic on the weekend.
Does, doesn't he?
He's gone, but I think it's got to be put into perspective a little bit, because I'm not as high as other people are, Billy, so you might disagree on this one a little. He's got a good run coming up, there's no doubt. Manly in New Zealand is nice. Dragons and the Titans the next 2 weeks after that are absolute gold. He doesn't play round 13, which is unfortunate, but that's okay. Next few weeks are really good matchups. In saying that, 112 was great on the weekend, but he beat up Souths, who looked absolutely putrid. And before that, he went 75, 47, 26, and 66. It wasn't the best season from SJ, averaging around 55 points until he threw out 112. You know, he's still only averaging 65 for the year, and he's almost $700,000. I just don't think it's worth it when you're going to maybe want Cleary back next week, or buy Cleary for the first time, which I will be doing, or that you're not going to have Hines, which I think is pretty important to have Hines. So I'm just not sure because of those reasons. I don't think that he's put himself above those two options. Cleary is going to be a great buy next week, provided he's back, like all reports suggest he will be. And Hines, I would not be dropping. So I think that's the issue with Sean Johnson. It's the same as what it was at the start of the season. I still think it's the same now, even though he had a great game for 112 points on the weekend.
Yeah, he's certainly playing out of his skin. Like, he doesn't have that zip that he'd had when he was 25, but no one's going to be 25 forever, mate. The one thing that did surprise me is, you know, the goal kicking. I didn't think he'd be getting that back in a hurry, but certainly playing well and got that, mate. He's not looking like 25 anymore, but he's certainly playing like a career best footy for someone over 30.
Well, he scored 2 tries backing up on the weekend as well, which was nice to see, but that's not going to happen that often for him. You know, it was really more of a sort of a 65-point game if South weren't that bad, where they just started leaking points as well. So, look, that might happen, though. You know, maybe the Dragons and the Titans games, they leak heaps and he performs better than a Nico or Cleary. You know, you can take that risk. He did look good on the weekend. I'm not going to do it. Elisa Katoa, I loved him as a bit of a pod buy last week. Mikey got him in. I was super jealous. I've said to several people I was about $10,000 or $20,000 short of getting him in, and I was spewing. 110 points. He's not going to score 2 tries every week, but one thing that he does do, Billy, is that when you think that it's a matchup where the edges are a bit weak or he can, you know, exploit him a bit, Melbourne go to him,
yep,
and he scores. And this week he's got the Bulldogs at Amy Park, where, again, I think Melbourne will go with him and he'll score. And if he scores like 1 try, he's still good for like an 80-plus type of game. So 681,000. Has he priced himself out of the market, though?
681. I prefer 600. I was just trying to look at Jackson Ford because I thought he might be the better buy around that price, but he's even in the same bracket, mate. He's up around the 694 as well. So I'd prefer Ford over him with his draw, so Manly, Dragons, Titans. And the other thing is, you've got a bloke like Jermaine Hopgood starting to come back to the pack a little bit. So, mate, I honestly put him in that Jackson Ford bracket, and I would prefer Ford over him pretty much. Around the same sort of price point. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, first of all, I need to apologise to the Jackson Ford fan club. I haven't really spoken about him on the podcast this year, and I should have because he's had a great year. 76 a game. I love what Ford's doing. I love the draw coming up, and I sort of need to swallow my pride on it a bit and say, you know, he's playing well enough where you need to consider him. I am going Katoa, and the reason I'm going Katoa is I think the Melbourne are at full strength now. They've got a decent draw themselves, starting with the Dogs this week. And Katoa, I'm more comfortable with leaving there all year, and he plays the first big buy. Ford, I'm still waiting for the penny to drop, and does he revert to not quite as good, and he doesn't play the round 13 buy. So I'll edge Katoa.
He has had the line break try 3 of those games too.
He has. Look, he runs a great line though. But like, yeah, he has. 3 out of the 5 games he scored a try, whereas Katoa, you know, for his 66 points, doesn't need a try, whereas Ford did in round 2, although he scored a 69 in round 3 without one. So I think they're both good. I just think we've got more sample sizes of Katoa, and I just think he's a little bit safer, that's all.
Yeah, fair enough, mate. I'm just looking at that 3-4 game run thinking, But yeah, he has to have a line break try to hurt you. Probably, sorry, 2 line break tries to hurt you. It's just an option, but I prefer the 400K mark. Yep, got it.
Well, I mean, Katoa's going to be 4% owned after this round, probably. Whereas someone like Jackson Ford has actually started to be a bit popular the last few weeks, and he's going to be at around 8 or 9% ownership. So you got double ownership.
He's around the same price as that Hamoli, so you may as well switch to the proven gun at that point now.
Well, yeah, there's that as well. You know, Olakau'achi is really juicy at like 3K more. He is 12% owned though, but I mean, probably more reliable. Yeah, another really good option there that Billy brings up. Moving along, a couple of other quick options before we look at TLT. T. Mary Martin, TMM has now got Metcalf's job as the number 6. He's now got a minus 25 break even after 2 games. Scored 90, after 1 game, sorry. 98 points against Souths. Not going to change money this week. And this is probably the biggest thing for me, Billy. I think that someone like Strange, if he's at your 6 spot, is a really easy play. And then you can make sure that TMM is okay and what his break even is for that round 7 game for St. George, where he's going to make, you're going to be able to make a call on how much he's going to make. Really good draw coming up, though. Looked great on the weekend against Souths. So I understand people looking at him because obviously people are jumping off Dylan Brown to him. It would be going a week early. There is other options that New Zealand might have instead of him. But judging on the weekend, I can't see him changing anytime soon. So it is a good one. 363,000, not quite bottom dollar, but pretty cheap at 5.8. That minus 25 break even, though, that can change to, you know, a single digit break even pretty quickly if he has an average game this weekend. That's what people also need to consider.
Yeah, you go back to last year, and the job security question is another one. Like, do you really think he's got it?
Well, I mean, Tevita Harris is there. He can go into the halves very easily. He's his main competition. Metcalf's obviously out for the year with a broken leg, but Tevita Harris could take the job. I could see it happening. And he's not going to change money this week anyway, as far as price changes. So I would really want to wait a week myself. I know it's not a great matchup versus Manly.
Yeah, look, if they're the bottom price rookies coming in off one really big game, and you know they're going to get sort of, you know, 4 or 5 game run, it's easier to do it. When a bloke's sort of coming back and having one career game that's not exactly bottom dollar, that kind of scares me a bit more. So he's one type of player that would 100% prefer to wait on. And even then, it would have to be a significant break even to put someone from that position in.
Turbo's the last one. He's in trading a fair bit. 72 break even. He's coming off his first ton of the season for 111 points against Penrith. Unexpected ton. Very relieving one for owners. He's only in 21% of teams now. He's dropped a fair bit after the first few weeks. Now, he's got New Zealand this week away, which is tough, but then he's got the Gold Coast. So I reckon people are eyeing that off, because I know that I am. I'm looking at that Gold Coast game, round 7, thinking Turbo has put on 208 points versus them before, and I am very worried about it. But then I look at my fullbacks and go,
yep,
I've got Drinkwater and Ponga. I'm not trading either of those guys. So, look, I think if you're going from Teddy to Turbo, it makes sense. I would probably choose Ponga over him. I think Drinkwater's got a good argument over him at the moment, but I understand people going Turbo, and maybe over the next fortnight, Turbo outscores Drinkwater. But I certainly wouldn't be trading, you know, the Pongers or the Drinkwaters to him. I think that if you've got a Teddy or Latrell, it becomes more of an option. But how do you rate those top three fullbacks? Because to me, they're the top three, right? You got Ponga, Drinkwater, Turbo. How are you rating them to own two of them?
On form at the moment, Drinkwater, but on career, on the last half of last year, it would be Ponga, Drinkwater, Turbo, but Turbo's got that 200 ceiling, so it kind of, if I had to pick one, it's Turbo. Ponga. If I had a matchup concern like the Titans, Warriors, etc., 100% Turbo. And probably the same with Drinkwater, but second to Turbo, if that makes any sense.
We got there. Drinkwater's the least owned player as well. So, I mean, that's important too. Like,
yeah,
if you think he's up there with both of those guys, he's only 8% owned. You know, like Turbo's going to be like 25% owned. Ponga's going to be like 30% owned. Drinkwater's 8% owned.
Turbo just looks more dangerous, mate. But yeah, he's just a brilliant player, Drinkwater. They're the best three for a reason. Just pick two and you're fine.
Put them all in a hat, hey? No, well, look, Turbo is 100K cheaper. So, I mean, that might be some of it as well. You know, people might not have the money. And look, you might make up the points next week with the Titans. It's definitely true. Do need to take the quick breaks. And this time it's to talk about oneworldcourier.com.au. You can go to oneworldcourier.com today. If you own a business or you just work for a business that has a lot of shipping needs or even a small amount of shipping or courier needs, then One World Courier are your people to talk to. They are an Australian-owned company. They provide fantastic service. And what they are is an actual platform that compares the market for all your shipping costs and everything. So if you want to have a look at shipping overseas or domestically, no matter how big or small for your business, they've got you covered. You can check out what the best rates are or what the best service is and pick that one, and they'll organize it for you. And they'll also watch it from point A to point B as well to make sure that you get the best service and whatever you're shipping gets there unscathed and quickly. So oneworldcourier.com.au, if you jump on and sign up today, you've got a spot there that you can say how you heard about One World Courier and just pop all stars in the cell there where you can write. And that way they'll see that you come from the podcast and they'll actually give you a great rate to start off with as well, so you can save straight away with them. So oneworldcourier.com.au, go jump on there today for all your shipping or courier needs. We need to do a machine gun TLT. Quickly look at captaincy options and some key changes. The first game, Knights and Roosters. Look, I think the main thing is that the Roosters obviously have a mountain of players out. I don't think they look that bad, to be honest, because Manu going back to one covers Teddy pretty well. It's definitely under strength, though, travelling to Newcastle. Would you put the VC on Ponga? I think in the current form, depending on the rest of your team, it's a definite option this week.
Oh, 100% an option, given that, you know, this is the preseason wrap and reason for buying. He basically scores 100 every week. I just go on back to that old curse of, you know, I just don't like VCing anyone on Thursday nights, smaller turnaround. I reckon they just get bigger teams just get bigger turnouts from crowds on the weekends. And I reckon the crowds just pump them up. I'm not going to VC him, I don't think.
Ponga's just scored his first try of the season on the weekend, and he's paying $2.25 on Picklebet. So there's a line for you, $2.25 for Ponga to score against the Chooks. I reckon we might be able to get that one in. But other than that, let's move along and talk about the Storm and the Bulldogs, because I reckon this one's got some big, big vice captaincy option feels about it with the number one, Ryan Papenhuyzen. Pap is a forgotten man here. We didn't mention him before. I don't think that he's in the same ballpark with the other guys without his goal kicking and with how he's been going this year. But if you own Papenhuyzen, Billy, he's a great VC this week. The Bulldogs have five different injuries that they're managing from last week. And I reckon that last week's game was a pretty bit of a roller coaster. It was really bad weather, and the Roosters really gave it to them in the second half. I think it would have taken a bit out of them, and they've got those five injuries. They've got some key changes. Stephen Crichton's playing fullback, a new front rower, bit of a pretty slight forward rotation off the bench. I think that Papenhuyzen is a good one. If I own Jerome Hughes, though, I tell you what, after his 108 last week, he's a pod captaincy this week. I would really love to have VC'd Jerome Hughes, because he could easily throw up 120 plus.
Are we at that point in the season where that's still enough for a VC, though?
Well, it depends, and I'll tell you a story. I got showed a team just before from a listener that I talked to a fit bit, and he only has 17 players this week. So he's like, yay, at least I get a free hit at the VC. So I think that there's a few teams
there is one
that
up. Vote
with that cartage.
Yeah, look, we're probably still early enough that you can take a 120, given all the carnage at the moment. Personally, I think there's still a couple of ordinary 20s that can be linger around the bench and hurt that a little bit. I'd much rather sort of play the full strength guys, although this year the forwards aren't exactly dominating. So you could, like, if you go back last week, I would have said, you know, easily just, you know, sort of leave Smithies out, because, you know, you, one of your backs can offset that. Then he comes out and scores 67. And this week I'm contemplating trading sort of Lane out, even though I said last week, oh, they scored 60 doing absolutely nothing last week. Well, just keep him in your team. So I think there's a bit of fluctuation with those highs and lows. So you just got to just make sure that there's no 15-20 score in there, because it completely defeats the purpose of looping around that sort of 110, 120 mark this early.
Well, I'll finish off on this game by saying that Picklebet has them at -17.5 line, and it's only $1.82 for their line. So the bookies reckon that they're going to get flogged Canterbury. And if you agree with the bookies, which you probably should, Papenhuyzen has previously scored 193 points versus the Dogs, and it's his second best score ever. So maybe it's best we leave it at that for that game.
Yeah, he's the VC there.
Broncos versus Dolphins. Look, I was actually a bit keen for a Dolphins upset, paying $3.78. But then Reece Walsh got named to make an early return, and Mammy's actually healthy. So it's going to be an interesting one. I will say one of the things that came up on this one, the bench for the Broncos, Smoothie and Sailor on the bench. So we've got a hooker and a reserve utility. Heatherington and Xavier Willison is back. That boded pretty well for Willison, who's a -6 break even at 265K as a front rower, who has showed some potential. And we know that Fletcher Baker's not going to play huge minutes, especially. So Willison -6 break even, he might be the forgotten man here. He might actually be a guy to save you at front row forward if he starts getting the bigger minutes, which his bench, if it doesn't change, seems to suggest that from this game.
He's been playing a few more minutes too, like not big ones, but, you know, getting the 35, 40 minutes. And he's got a PPM synonymous with Fifita back in his prime. I think it's even higher than Fifi. It's around the 1.5 mark consistently. So he's only really got to get that 35, 40 minutes to give you a 50 score. So, but yeah, he's got to get the minutes. But with the makeup of that bench, it's certainly a good opportunity for it.
I'm looking forward to Hammer going head-to-head with the other fullback in Walsh. Also looking forward to +10.5 on Dolphins for Picklebet. Next game, the Warriors versus Seagulls. Bit of a tough one here, Billy. Like, Turbo's got some good scores against the Warriors, but in saying that, it is over in New Zealand and the Warriors are going to be on a high after last week. I'd actually stay away from this one, and that seems a bit crazy, but in the games that Manly haven't been real front runners, Turbo hasn't looked the best. And I'd also likewise be a bit scared to go near Sean Johnson considering his other scores. So I reckon we just call Mulligan on this one and we have another go on another game. What do you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon so. I reckon Turbo is still good for, you know, 80, 90, but nowhere near Liverpool.
Parramatta versus the Cowboys. Combank Stadium.
Next.
Well, this is your hunting ground, mate. Your backs are against the wall. We've got Talangi that's been dropped. I will say he's in jersey 19. I'm surprised that he's not pushed into the centres for Morgan Harper. It might be a late change.
Yeah, that was surprising. I didn't see that one coming at all.
There might be a late change, but I'm not going to rush to sell Talangi with a 5 break even. I will say Arcee, it'd be interesting whether Arcee makes a positive change to the rest of the Eels. Like him being there might help Dylan Brown. And might even help some of the other guys. So do you like that change?
Well, if you're going to bring in a player like Arcee, I'd probably prefer them to be in the 7 jersey and put Dylan Brown back to 6. I just don't like the chop and change. Like, the kid played out of his skin his first game at 5'8". He had one game there. Unless they got so touched up last week, Arthur just didn't like the structure and just probably wants to bring in someone in with a little bit more experience as opposed to dropping the kid in the deep end again.
Yeah, potentially. There might be some late changes to this one, so you might want to look out for it, I reckon. But captaincy-wise, Drinkwater, do you ride the hot hand? He's gone 105, 77, 144 last three. The Eels looked awful versus the Raiders. Awful.
Yes.
They are back at home. Drinkwater has thrown 120-plus on him before, though.
You got to remember too. The Eels have a great record at home, but they're without their captain, their chief playmaker, mate. They look lost. It's like saying, you know, it's impossible to beat Manchester United at home. You take, you know, half the side out. It's not the same team, mate.
Oh, it's only possible to beat the Eels. Don't worry about that. I was never going to say that. But Drinkwater, my captain, probably going to keep it on him myself. So I definitely like it.
I wouldn't be too concerned about that.
Rabbitohs and Sharks. This was my non-drink water captain, potentially. The Rabbitohs have got Jai Gray debuting as a fullback. They brought back Tyrone Munro on the wing. They've dropped Cook altogether, which I cannot believe. Mamazoulis is going to be starting at number 9. It's when I look at this South side, I just think this side is going to get towed. You know, part of me sort of thinks maybe there's going to be a bit of fight because, you know, Demetrio's job's on the line and other guys are under pressure. But then I look at it and go, you know, I really want to captain Nico Hines. And that's my dilemma. You know, do I VC Drinkwater and captain Hines, or do I just go with the VC earlier and captain Drinkwater? I keep looking at this South Sydney side this week, Billy, and thinking I am pretty interested in Hines, and I'm not sure a lot of other people will captain him this week.
Yeah, mate. Well, you start to run out of options, don't you? Like, if you don't put it this way, if you don't own Drinkwater, you've got Ponga first game of the weekend Thursday night. We just talked about Turbo over in New Zealand. That's probably a no. Cleary's out. So who else is there? It's pretty much your Hines.
Yeah, I think so. I think a lot of people are going to overlook him, but I'm expecting at least an 80 plus from him, with a potential for 100 plus. If South don't turn up, it could get ugly. Look at what SJ did last week with 112, and he didn't actually get bulk assist stats with that either. So, yeah, I'll be hard considering Hines for the C. The game that I won't be is the Tigers and Dragons. We'll move past that one to the final game of the Raiders and the Gold Coast Titans. I don't think that there is huge options here because I'm not that sold on how the Raiders are going to go away, still even their good start to the season, and which options that they have. Like, they've been going well, but I don't know if there's any captaincy options that you throw it on. But I will say, if you're in a draft that has captains, or if you're in a head-to-head that you decided that you just really want to win because you're playing a mate or whatever, I would be very surprised if Matthew Timoko doesn't go 90-plus this week again. So he would be the complete big balls pod.
I wouldn't captain a center, but I know what you're saying. Certainly in form, might get one, but you really think he's a captain option?
What, like in context, in draft?
Right. Yeah,
there's a lot of draft teams that don't get a top fullback.
Sorry, selective hearing
or
there.
if you're playing against your mate that's got all the same key spine players and you're down 150 points after 3 games.
Okay, got it.
Get your selective hearing in. Look, I don't know what's going to happen in this one, Dragons and Raiders. We'll eagerly await and see, but that is the podcast. That is the round. Billy, thank you very much for jumping on board. Really appreciate it. As always, mate, we'll get you on in a few more weeks and have another chat. But good luck with the week. Hopefully you decide on the right second rower as well.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate it. Quick shout out to my mate Al at Technology One, long-time listener. Found him at work the other day. Well, he found me, actually. But, nice to meet you, Al. Look forward to many super coach meetings in the office.
Al, thank you very much for listening, mate. And Billy will give you all the inside info that you need for this week. Until then, everyone else, make sure that you listen to Talking Footy this week. We've got a great Talking Footy episode coming up. And also, good luck with your trades and everything else. Make sure that you do jump on our partners as well. We've got Bonus Bank, number one side hustle in Australia. Then make sure you check out bonusbank.com.au, sign up to them for free or use one of their paid memberships to get all the features and use All-Stars as your promo code so they'll take great care of you. Picklebet, the betting partner of the All-Stars podcast as far as bookies goes. All-Stars is your affiliate code there when you sign up, so they take great care of you. And oneworldcourier.com.au. If your business or you uses freight or business shipping that you need, go to oneworldcourier.com.au. They will take great care of you. They will give you some great rates straight up. They'll give you some rate cards with an extra discount if you make sure you let them know that you're from the All-Stars podcast. Follow us on Twitter, NRL_SC_All-Stars, and also download, subscribe, and share from iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, and everywhere else. Good luck with the week of footy. I really appreciate all you guys and girls listening. I can't wait to talk more rugby league with everyone real soon.
Hey now, you're an all-star. Get your game on, go play. Hey now, you're a rock star. Get the show on, get paid.